Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette, and by the gracious will of our good Lord and Savior, the great God, the true and living God, the only God, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Spirit, three persons yet one God, in His name we are pleased to look to the Word of God once again today and enjoy fellowship with God in the truth and with each other by the Spirit. Praise God. My friends, I want to continue today to encourage you about this issue of not worrying. And so our text is found again in Matthew chapter 6. Please turn there as you are able to. And we will soon look at verses in which the Lord Jesus teaches us not to worry about the essential issues of life, that God is an able and great provider. And it's my hope today to encourage you and to look at the scripture as we see reasons why we can trust Jesus. We want to look at His marvelous ability to provide for people. We'll take a look at His life and His miracles, the marvelous times of provision in which He, by His able and powerful hand, met the needs of people that He came to minister to. And so we are encouraged to trust God because God is an able provider of the essential needs of His people. Praise the Lord. And we see this in the marvelous ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. And you can learn more about our ministry. We call it Mission East Africa, Uganda, at www.missionafricajk.net. Amen. And so it is, my friends, that the precious Word of God is our food again this Lord's Day. And so let us feast upon the truth of God. Father, thank You. How good it is to receive Your words into our hearts, to trust You, to trust them, and to see the truth and to experience the truth, knowing all the while that as You bring truth into our hearts, You are using the Word of God and translating it into spiritual life, and You are leading us to feast upon Christ. God, thank You for this most important lesson that we all need to learn about, that You are the able and great provider for Your people, and that You call us to not have excessive care or worry, but to trust You, that You are the great provider, Jehovah Jireh, that You are. And so bless the Word of God to our hearts once again today, and bless my people. I pray that they will be helped not to worry as they gain a vision of Christ. And so we glorify You, Lord. We thank You, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In the name of Jesus, the Lord, we pray. Amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, in Matthew chapter 6, we see the teaching of the Lord about not worrying. And let me just read a few verses from this section of verses, beginning in verse 25. And ending in verse 34 this morning. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to His word. And so, my friends, we are encouraged here in the Lord's teaching to trust God for His provision of food and clothing, to trust God for the essential needs we have in life, that He will essentially meet those basic and real needs that we have. Praise God. And the Lord's teaching is so clear. We must first seek His kingdom, knowing that the great and able God who saves His people is also able to provide for the needs of His people. And He indeed does wonderfully. He provides for our every spiritual need. He provides for our every material or temporal need. Praise the Lord. And wonderfully, we are helped to, as the scripture says, simply be still and know that He is God. He is exalted among the nations. He is exalted in the earth, as Psalm 46:10 tells us. Amen. And we find, too, that we are helped to bring our needs, our concerns, our fears to God in Philippians 4 and verses 5 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Those words are written by the Apostle Paul, who in the same section of verses tells us that he has learned to be content and satisfied whether he is in need or whether he is full, and he has come to rejoice in God, to pray to God, to make his needs known to God in prayer, and he enjoyed that peace which he describes for us here, that surpassing peace which is beyond our comprehension, our ability to fully understand, as he rejoiced in the Lord. Praise God. And so, wonderfully, my friends, we are helped to look to the Lord and trust the Lord. And I want to share with you this morning the words of a great hymn that is a great comfort to me and my wife. At one time, my wife sang this hymn quite often. It's based upon James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be brought to brightness at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shalt thou better know his love, his heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrow and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay. From his own fullness all he takes away. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, in every change he faithful will remain. Sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Amen. And I believe that this wonderful hymn helps us to understand the glorious truth that Jesus calls us not to anxious care and worry and fear, which is not honoring to God, but into a deep trust and love for our God, who will care for us in His wisdom, who will not forsake us, and who will provide for us. Praise the Lord. And we can think about this in a marvelous way, a picture that shows us that underneath us and above us and all around us and beyond our needs is the great and all-sufficient God, Jehovah Jireh, the provider of His people, who never changes, who has created us, sees our needs, and is at work in His all-sufficiency to meet our every need in Jesus Christ. And so we can trust the Lord Jesus, my friends. And we can turn from carking care, anxious worry, from anxiety. Praise the Lord. Again, this marvelous promise is made to those who have been born again, to those who believe in the Lord, who have first made the kingdom of God their priority in life, who have actually entered into the kingdom. And so, my friends, this morning I want us to look at examples in the New Testament, in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, about how He provided for His people. And I want us to take a look at Matthew chapter 8. First of all, this chapter just after the teaching of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. And we find here in verses 23 through 27 the great miracle in which the Lord calmed the sea. Now notice that the apostles have been sorely afraid. They believe that they will perish in this storm that comes upon them as they are in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. But notice the power and the ability and the provision of the Lord to meet their needs. Verse 23. Now when He got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? And so the marvelous provision of the Lord is that Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is, has the power, and He exercises it in these verses, to calm the storm. The creation must obey His commandment, His word. And so, praise the Lord. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, again, let's put ourselves into the position of the disciples for a moment. And we see that they are extremely afraid. They are terrified at this near-death experience, as they perceive it to be. The Lord, seemingly to them, is not aware of their peril, of their danger, their great danger. And so they hasten to Him in the midst of this great storm. Perhaps they have been rather patiently waiting to see what would develop, but they reach a moment of panic and they come and awaken the very tired, sleeping Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to Him with this great need, this fear that they are going to die instantly. And the Lord marvelously ended their fear as He provided the safety that they needed in the calming of the sea, so that there was a great calm. Praise God. We can trust our able provider, the Lord God Jesus Christ, because the winds and the sea obey Him. Amen. Praise God. And we see, my friends, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, the feeding of the 4,000. Matthew 15. Let's turn there. Again, marvelous provision. And And I want to share with you that I have mentioned in this sermon series about not fearing famine or drought or fearing food scarcity and fearing anxiously that God will fail to provide for his people. And again, that's a rather conditional statement, and I want to talk with you much more about that, God willing, next Lord's Day. But I am not insensitive to the reality of need in Uganda, and my heart is stirred by the needs of people here, because indeed there is a lack of food many times. There is a lack of resources, necessary medical care or good medical care. There is indeed these days a lack of rain. The crops are struggling. I'm aware of that. I just returned from Pokot, which is indeed a dry and thirsty land in need of rain. There is indeed the possibility of famine, which means great danger, even the ending of life for some people who would experience that. There is hunger. There is emaciation. People suffer greatly because of a lack of good water. And so I understand the reality of those situations, but I want to assure you again, my friends, that God, Jesus, the able provider, has promised in his marvelous providence to care for his people, and I cling to that promise, and I pray that you too will cling to that promise of God with all of your heart, and that you will be helped to even more surely by an expanded faith cling to this great promise of God. He is able. He is mighty. He is God who provides for us. Amen. And if you are in one of those extreme situations today, you lack food, you lack water, perhaps you lack clothing, you lack necessary medical care, let me encourage you, dear friend, to look to the Lord and pray, because your God is aware of your needs, and he is able and mighty to save and deliver and provide for you. Amen. So in Matthew 15, beginning in verse 32, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Let me note the knowledge of the God, and the God-man Jesus, the compassion of the man-God Jesus, his desire to meet the need, their hunger. Praise God. Verse 33, then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. Verse 35. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Once again, praise God, we see the great ability and the great provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his love and mercy and care, his compassion for thousands of people, perhaps up to 10,000 people, maybe more. The men are counted here as 4,000, but there are also women and children. Praise God. For this great multitude, he provides in his miraculous ability to provide, and he takes 7 loaves and a few little fish and literally feeds thousands. He is Jehovah Jireh. Power is his. He is the great provider of his people. Let us trust in him. Amen. We also see that the Lord Jesus Christ, at another time, heals 5,000 people. He takes food, a few loaves, a few fish, and he multiplies this. We find that in Matthew 14:13. Let's look there. Matthew 14:13. Again, a huge number of people, a multitude, literally thousands, perhaps as many as, who knows, God only knows, 12, 15,000 people, counting women and children who had gathered. Beginning in verse 13, look at the power, the grace of the Lord. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Amen. And so here, the Lord feeds many more people with less bread. Here, he uses 5 loaves to feed 5,000. In the other section of verses, when he feeds the 4,000, he used 7 loaves. Praise God. And notice here that the fragments, that is, there is leftover food, the fragments are gathered together, and there is a large quantity of food left. He more than abundantly and generously met the need of the people. Praise God. Jesus is able to meet our needs, dear friends. He is awesome in his ability and power. And we find in Matthew chapter 14, in verses 22 through 33, the really wonderful story about how it is that the Lord led Peter to walk on the water. Now, I've chosen this example because, again, we see the ability of the Lord to meet the needs of people. And he shows his surpassing ability as he enables Peter to walk on the water. Now, we remember the story well. We remember that Peter, a man like us, prone to sin and to doubt, did indeed doubt the Lord and began to sink. But even then, and it's marvelous to think about this, the Lord came and met his need and rescued him, saved him from perishing and from drowning in water. And so the Lord took him up out of the water and met his need of immediate rescue and survival in this way. And so we find here in Matthew 14, in verse 25, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea." The disciples are in the boat. A storm has arisen. Jesus was not in the middle of the sea in the boat with them, but it was a large storm again. And so about the time of between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., the middle of the night to the very early morning, Jesus goes walking on the sea to them. Now, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Now, we can, again, put ourselves in their situation for a moment and imagine the terror that they experienced as they see what they think must be a spirit, a ghost, walking toward them in the midst of an already dangerous and threatening situation. They had never seen a man walking on the water. They had never seen Jesus walking on the water. And so they cry out for fear. They must have been screaming. Many times, in fact, the usual response of a person in a situation like this of immediate life-threatening danger is fear, such fear that one screams. And so they cry out, they scream. But immediately Jesus speaks to them, verse 27, "Be of good cheer," or "take courage," is the meaning of this expression. "It is I, do not be afraid." Now notice that the Lord Jesus, in his great wisdom, understands the working of their hearts. He sees the absolute terror that they are experiencing, and so his first provision to them is to encourage them. He says, "Take courage. Do not be afraid." And then, in his provision, he identifies himself. "It is I." Again, he encourages them, "Do not be afraid." Praise God. And so he provides the needed knowledge that these men must have in this terrifying situation. And he provides the needed encouragement to them. And notice, too, that he comes alongside them. He calms them in that he declares to them that he is with them. And there is no reason to fear even a near-death experience when Jesus is with us. Praise God. Amen. And so we see that Peter then, now hearing the Lord, answers him in verse 28 and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Notice the tentativeness, the doubt. "If it is you, command me to come out on the water." And so Peter, though, does trust the Lord. And Peter does want to enjoy nearness to the Lord. And Peter wants to do that which the Lord is doing, and so he declares this, that he wants to go walking on the water with Jesus. And so wonderfully, Jesus provides in his great power in verse 29 this opportunity for Peter, and he says simply, "Come." And so Peter comes down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Amen. And so, marvelously, the Lord miraculously provides all that is needed for these men, and they come into safety, and in his miraculous provision, Jesus teaches them that he indeed is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Very quickly, one last example today of the marvelous ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to provide. And in Matthew chapter 16, in verses 5 through 12, we see the teaching of the Lord. And we find here, my friends, that the Lord, who has provided miraculously for the thousands of the people in the immediate context, he fed the 4,000. The God who has provided the food for this great multitude is also the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who provides the word of life, or the teaching of life, the truth to men. Praise God. Marvelous provision. The truth of God comes from our provider, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we find here that after Jesus had fed the multitude, the 4,000 men, that the disciples have come to him And they had forgotten to take bread. They obviously have become worried about this situation. They are without food. And Jesus says to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Notice that, of course, leaven is normally used in bread dough to cause it to rise so that bread can be baked and eaten. And so he refers to the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, again, a reference to bread. But they reason among themselves, verse 7 says, and they say, it is because we have taken no bread that he has spoken to us of being wary of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Obviously, they don't quite understand. Jesus is aware of their misunderstanding in verse 8. And he says to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven or teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And my friends, we are in need of the Lord's warning today here in Uganda too. Dear friend, beware of the false teaching of religious people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of religious leaders. We see here the provision of precious truth, the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, which we need, my friends. This is our great need, the truth of God, which we will find in the Bible. Amen. And so our time has ended again today. It's gone rather quickly. But we see that we can trust Jesus, and I hope you are encouraged to trust Jesus in your circumstances and in your needs today, and that you will remember to trust Jesus in your circumstances and needs tomorrow and every tomorrow because of his great ability to provide for us. His compassions are new every morning. His mercy does not fail. The Lord who created us, Jesus the Christ, sees our needs and is working to meet our every need. Let us trust him. Father, thank you. Jesus, you're awesome. Praise you for your ability and power to provide for us. And so lead us not to worry, but to cast our every care on you because you care for us. And Lord, teach us to trust you with every circumstance of providence, knowing that you are leading and guiding and providing us. And we glorify you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the truth we have received today. In Christ's name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.